Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Joining us on the line is Dov Mazel, co-founder and director of operations of Hatzalah, of United Hatzalah of Israel. A very, very good morning to you after what must have been an incredibly tough weekend. How are you?
Good morning, good morning. Yes, a very tough weekend indeed. We are still in the midst of the operation as we deal with our volunteers. With the aftermath and the psychotrauma aspects.
I would imagine, you know, so many of us think that, well, all right, well, the event happened on Thursday night. By the end of Friday, the rescue job was most likely almost done, and then everybody goes back to normal. But what we don't consider is the incredible aftermath and the impact that it has on the volunteers.
Yes, exactly. People think that the incident is over, and, you know, on the media, we watch the funerals and everything. And essentially what we've been busy with since 4 a.m. at the end of the patient evacuation and until now is actually, our volunteers. We have over 150 volunteers who, undertook a huge, burden in this, disaster. And through our psychotrauma unit, we've been dealing with volunteers with, you know, post-traumatic effects. I mean, I myself have a little more experience. I've been in this field for almost 30 years and was exposed over the past few decades to a number of mass casualty incidents, terror-related and natural disasters through...
And yeah, we're seeing psychotrauma, aspects of, you know, post-trauma. These volunteers were exposed to a very horrific site.
Right.
We're talking about a site that is very stressful, with, grotesque, visual sites, efforts of saving lives, that we were unable to save. And what we're trying to do is work within the circles of the volunteers throughout the country who participated in this mission, to work and take apart this burden and make it something that they can go back to normal without carrying that baggage and to minimize the scarring for the rest of their life.
Can you take us through that? There's been so many mixed reports around what went on during the rescue operations. So what I'm understanding is that there's only one road in or out of Meron, and that became complete chaos. Can you describe what really went on there for us?
Yeah, so I'll describe for the listeners that Meron is a very small, it's like a small little mountaintop with a ancient tomb on it from the second century. And the access ways to there are very tight roads, and the tomb itself and the area are very, very tiny, small alleys. And we're talking about 100,000 people that participate in the ceremony, which is a very happy ceremony. Mm, people come to dance, to celebrate.
It's
a religious ceremony. People don't come there to demonstrate or anything. Very peaceful, but the congestion that happens every year, but this year especially, I would say possibly because it's the first event after a year and a half of being closed down because of COVID and many other reasons, people came there by the thousands, and these little tight little alleys simply got overly congested, and all you need is for one person to trip, slip, fall, and then you have a stampede there of thousands of people, and that is what happened.
In other words, from what I understand, there was this ramp down and people had tripped near the top, and that created this domino effect, ultimately crushed people at the bottom. Is that what happened?
Yes, exactly. I mean, at the point where I was standing with our teams of volunteers, it was literally a human pile of people who simply got piled up so high, and they were squashed so terribly they couldn't be pulled out. I mean, we were there trying to pull people out of this pile, and the pressure of the thousands of people coming in from the back end and pushing down on them made it impossible. And essentially these people, all 45 people who passed away in this disaster, suffocated to them. They simply suffocated, a sick guy could not breathe.
It's absolutely too horrible to contemplate. The other thing that we heard, and I have no idea again if it's true or not, is that the police had blocked the exit to this ramp, and that caused some of the issue. Is there truth in that?
So it's undergoing investigations. There are a number of theories of why it happened. There's already, they were talking last night about an option that a person suffered cardiac arrest at the bottom of this ramp. And the police were trying to push people back so they don't walk over this person. And it was misunderstood by the public as police trying to block them from leaving. So there are many theories. It's undergoing investigation. The bottom line is that it's simply, be it police blocking or be it someone who collapsed or someone who tripped or whatever. The fact is, it's simply too many people in such a small little area. Which is uncontrollable. No matter how you look at it, it's simply uncontrollable, and the aftermath is disastrous.
Yeah, I think I read somewhere that, and it's very difficult when you're reading this from afar, because it becomes politicized very, very quickly, which is a real concern, because it's hard to know where something is written, what perspective. Any article that you read or any article that I read, it's very hard to know which political point it's being written from, and it shouldn't be written from any. But that aside, one of the articles that I read mentioned that if this was a rock concert or a secular event, there wouldn't have been more than 15,000 people allowed at that event. The fact that it was this type of religious ceremony meant that more people could come in there. Your thoughts on that?
Well, there's a big debate. There's a big debate here in Israel because of the historic status of this place. When you have a rock event, a rock concert, or a football game, then you have an organizer, you have a producer who's in charge of the event, and if he doesn't meet up to the standards, then the police will not approve the event. There's a big debate now about the status of this place. There is no one responsible person at the end of the day, and that, I hope, will come out in a national inquiry that I hope will happen, because such a disaster is unacceptable. I mean, as responders, I'm not looking at the political point of view.
Well, exactly. And to some extent here in South Africa, where we don't have these types of issues, maybe because we're a smaller community, we're a community that's perhaps more under threat in terms of our numbers and other factors, we don't see these things along political lines. We see it probably a lot more similarly to the way Hatzala would see it, because it's just about the humanity of it. But as we try and figure it out, it's very, very clear that this has been a political issue. As I'm reading more into it, it's clear to me that this has been a political issue for years and years.
That's what they're saying. I'm not a politician. What we do in Hatzala here, in United Hatzala, is we really combine an apolitical environment that combines people from all walks of life in Israel, from the right wing and the left wing, from the ultra-Orthodox and the secular and the Arab. We're so not involved in that. Unfortunately, we need to deal with the aftermath of these conflicts, but try to keep ourselves distant from the political discussion.
Yeah, and I think that is right, because that is how ultimately you'll save more lives in the end, because you won't be precluded from any type of event because of a so-called political affiliation. So I think that is absolutely right, and I think that probably has to be guarded very, very closely. I apologize for pulling you into that. It wasn't my intention. It's just to really try and understand what from afar, to try and understand what the real situation is and what the dynamics are. In terms of your Hatzala crew, the volunteers, how are they managing? How are they doing?
So, like I said, we're challenged with the psychotrauma effects and the post-trauma effects. But that said, I have to say that 300 volunteers, EMTs and paramedics that were on the mountain that night fought for saving lives. And I have no doubt, and this is what we're trying to reflect over to them, is really that the work that they did, working in the unreal conditions, in such a challenging, stressful situation, saved lives. It saved many lives because of their devotion. And I think that at the end of the day, when we came to Mount Meron, we didn't come for this disaster. We were there on the mountain from the early morning.
Right.
From the early morning. So, just being medical security for people there, you know, for people who dehydrate or faint or things like that. And I think that we were focused on the mission, and though it was stressful and on scale, this was one of the worst disasters in Israel's history. I'm proud. I'm proud of the volunteers who really were there to save lives, and they fulfilled their mission because many lives were saved. Looking at the people who passed, there was nothing that we could do. We did our best, but 100%. Looking at 150 people who weren't saved. And others who were rescued without being injured because of the quick action
Absolutely.
Of the volunteer, Incredible. Of the volunteers putting themselves in the line of danger, so to speak, because they were in the risk of being stampeded under themselves. But they saw the importance of this, and I think the disaster would have been much, much worse
if you weren't there. No question. Dov Mazel, unfortunately, we do need to leave it there. Co-founder, director of operations at United Hatzalah of Israel. Just keep doing the life-saving, God-given work that you are doing.